Father, we love you. We need you. We pray for your grace, God. Without your grace, we have nothing. We just have nothing. There's no hope without you, without your grace. There's no answers without your grace, Father. There's no peace without your grace. God, we can't do it for ourselves. We can't. And so we acknowledge that we need you this morning. And so I pray that you'd fill us. Father, I think about what it says in Romans when it talks about the Holy Spirit utters to you, in ways, speaks to you from our heart in ways we can't even do it. Lord, we don't know. We need your grace so much, Father, that we don't even know how to pray. So I pray that you'd help us to see you this morning. I pray you'd help us to be filled with you and to know how to just acknowledge you and glorify you and pray and seek you and surrender. God, we need to see your light. We need to be touched. All of these things are true. God, there's probably, likely, even maybe already, there are souls that'll be here this morning that need to be convicted of their sins and touched with the gospel to acknowledge and to see their need of salvation. It could be, and likely is, the case this morning that somebody will be here who needs to be saved. I pray that you'd work in their hearts. And I pray that you'd give clarity and wisdom in the messages, Sunday school, and the messages to come, both this morning and tonight. And Lord, I just pray that your power will fill this place. I pray you'd empty us of self, fill us with your spirit. I pray that you'd bind the devil and keep him away. And Lord, that we would just see you and that you'd fill us. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope we have. And we'll give you glory for what you've already done. Thank you for what you've already done. I pray that you'd continue to do a special work in our presence. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be in 1 Peter this morning again, chapter 2, for our guests. And we do have a few guests this morning. Hope you feel welcome. We are going through the book of 1 Peter in our Sunday school hour in our class. And we teach expositionally through the Bible. What that means is we go verse by verse. And yes, when you find that, you can stand with me so we can read our text. A few of you are beginning to stand. And so, so we have taught through, well, the way I do Sunday school is a lot like just preaching, right? But we're just going through the book of 1 Peter. We made it through chapter 1. And now we are in verse 13 through 16 for our text this morning. And it's one of those... It's one of those thoughts from God that is to us this morning, maybe one of those thoughts that I wouldn't normally say, okay, we're going to be talking about how to have a good testimony with the government this morning. How exciting is this going to be? But you know, there's a message from God to us this morning, and I want you to know we need it. We need it. So let's let God work in us in this way. Okay, verse number 13, 1 Peter chapter 2. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I mean, that really sums it all up right there. God is saying, submit yourself to the laws of the land for my sake. Amen. In other words, God said it, and that's enough, isn't it? It's almost like this. When I say to the kids, hey, I want you to do this project, or I want you to do this, you know, task. And what would a question a child would commonly ask after being told to do something? Why? Well, you know, sometimes mom and dads can give the answer to that question with details. And sometimes it's enough, isn't it, to say, because I said so. Amen. You know? And sometimes that's just depending on what our mood is. But if we just read this phrase, it's almost as though this is what God is saying. I want you to submit yourself to the laws of the land, and here's why. Because I said so. For my sake. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Verse 14. Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And by the way, that is God telling us why he instituted government in the first place. We get frustrated with the government. But God is saying it's essential. And by the way, it's not man-made. God created the government for the protection of society. And it's under his banner. It's under his authority. Verse 15. That's why it says in Proverbs that God can raise up kings and he can put down kings. And they're in the hand of the Lord. And God knows what he's doing. He knows how all this works together. You know, look at verse number 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, that we should have a good testimony with the government. Let's pray. Father, we know that you have for us specifically something that's going to help us this morning. And whatever, wherever, however it touches us, Lord, you know how that all works. But we do know that, Lord, as we open your word and we study and we let you speak, that you do speak. And so we ask for you to do that once again. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The believers that Peter is writing to when he wrote the book of 1 Peter are those that would have been saved and learned through the process of development and growth as Christians that they were pilgrims in this land. And that's something he's already said. Pilgrims meaning this world is not our home. Amen. Like the song, we're passing through, our destination, our citizenship is in heaven. Okay. If you're saved this morning, then you, here's what you know, because the Spirit of God confirms this in us, right? The devil wants us to doubt our salvation, but even at the beginning of the book of 1 Peter, God wants us to be affirmed in our salvation. And so he constantly, through the messages of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, he affirms us. He says, remember that day when you turned your heart to me? You were born again on that day, and it's something you don't need to do again. When you're born again, you don't need to be born again again. So God affirms us in our salvation. And in that, we begin to grow, and we learn that our citizenship as believers and as saved people isn't in this world, that our eternity is with God in heaven. Our citizenship is with him in heaven. And so we know that this life in this world is temporary. Now, for the believers that Peter is writing to, they would have begun to learn that and understand that. And it would have caused them to not embrace, and by the way, in a good way, the things of this world, but to invest in the things that are eternal rather than in the things that are temporal. And God works in us to more invest our life and our attention, our emotions, and our heart, really, in the things of God and not so much in the things of this world. And the people of God in the time that Peter is writing would have begun to do that. But they also would have made connections to their citizenship in heaven, to what they would have been experiencing in the government that they lived in that day. Now remember, the believers of the day when Peter was writing were experiencing great oppression and opposition in the government under which they lived. Like the Roman officials the Roman government, and by the way, even from a civil, because the government could be, maybe we can understand the government they lived in the way that our government operates. We have the federal government and we have the civil government or the state government. That operates more on a smaller level. Government, as far as the federal side, operates on a more corporate or bigger level, the whole United States of America, and so then you have the civil side. The government in this day would have been similar, although it was an empire of the Roman Empire. It would have been almost like a federal umbrella over all of the regions they ruled. And then there would have been a civil aspect or a ruling aspect of the land that reported back to the Roman officials. And that would have been the Jews themselves in Israel. The Jews, the Pharisees, and the Judaism and the law and the way that they operated at a religious level was the way they also operated on a civil level with government. And so there were those two aspects going on. And by the way, the believers that Peter was writing to were experiencing opposition and oppression in both ways, in both parts of the government. Christians were hated by the Jews, and they were hated by the Romans. And so there would have been blame that was coming to the Christians from both sides. And that opposition would have been severe. What do you mean severe? I mean, not like a slap on the hand, or you need to spend a night in jail, or we're going to indict you and charge more taxes towards you in an unfair way. No. Those things might have been true. But they were seeing a kind of opposition where their family members were taken to prison and beaten and murdered. They would have seen their Christian believing friends and family members lining the streets of the Roman roads on crosses, dying for their faith. This is who he would have been writing to. This is the kind of opposition that these Christians would have been facing. Now, that sort of opposition meant that there would have been laws that would have been established in the land that we would consider, this is unfair. This isn't something that that really should apply to anybody, much less these believers. And so they would have been experiencing an unfair rule of the land. And Peter's writing to deal with this issue, but what it would have caused them to do, watch this, because it's all going to come together here as we're getting into this. The believers already saw that, or were beginning to already see themselves as citizens of heaven, right? And now living with that understanding under a government that oppressed them and was against them and brought opposition to them and persecuted them, they would have begun to feel that they don't need to submit to this authority because they're not citizens. Really, we're not citizens of this world. We're not citizens of this government. And so I don't need to submit to this government. My citizenship is in heaven. And so I submit to God and I submit to his law and to his rule, which is true. But what they were doing is they were dismissing the authority of the government and applying the authority of their citizenship of heaven to their rule of life so that they didn't need to submit to the government under which they lived. And Paul would have seen that Christians began to operate this way. And it, by the way, if you and I are in this context, we could relate to that. I think we would be able to relate to this. We would need this encouragement that Peter is giving them, because we would have struggled in the same manner. I think that these believers would struggle, not feeling that they needed to abide by the laws of the land. Our citizenship is in heaven. This government is oppressing us. And why should we be submissive to the rule of the land under this oppressive government? And so Peter here is guiding them teaching them how to respond to a government. Now, let me go ahead and say, before we get into our first verse, that we know from Acts, I believe chapter 6, and it was Peter also who said this, that we must obey God rather than men. Do you remember that? The context of that was in the government, as it relates to the government. Now, what was the government that Peter was under telling Peter and the apostles and any followers of the gospel? What was the government telling them to stop doing? To stop preaching the gospel of Christ? You stop preaching. Well, here's what Peter said. I can't stop preaching because I'm called of God to preach the gospel. I must then make a choice. Will I obey God? Or will I obey the law of the land, the government? Well, Peter says, if you're put in that position, we already know what we need to do. We obey God. Amen. And whatever the case, whatever the result would be, we let God be true, and we follow him, and we stick to God's principle and his word wherever it takes us. You know, and that might apply to us today, preaching the gospel or the whole counsel of God. There are things in the Bible the world would not have a problem with us preaching. But I think we could all acknowledge, right, that there are some things in the Bible that the world does not approve of. The world, in fact, disapproves of some of the things the Bible says. And therefore, as a preacher of the gospel, if I preach the whole counsel of God and I don't leave anything out, there's going to be times that things are going to be said that rubs the world wrong. In the world system wrong. Amen. And so now, of course, living in the United States of America, we are free. And we have freedom still. Praise God for that. So we can preach the whole counsel of God without fear of going to jail for some of the things that are being said. But what if it was true that there was a law established in the land that you need to stop preaching about this? So what do I do? Well, you already know the answer to that. I preach what God says. No matter what the result would be. And so we know that's true. And I want you to understand at a fundamental level, Peter is not attacking that principle. What we're talking about here is, what do we do in our respect or honor of the government whenever the government is leading us to do something or has laws established that may oppress us but doesn't lead us to do something against God? So what do we do? Well, look at verse 13, because, I mean, he sums it all up right there. He says, submit. I mean, that's what you do. You submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And what he's saying there, when he says that, is you need to do this for my sake. And the implication is, I understand that these laws might be unfair. God's saying, I understand that the rule of man has a way of you know, having an agenda and has a way of oppressing and making it harder. You know, isn't it frustrating? Pastor, you would understand this. Isn't it frustrating that there are businesses out there? I'm talking about businesses that are worldly. In fact, just awful business. Some businesses are just awful. And we won't even say what they are, but awful things. And the government doesn't just make it easier for these businesses, but actually helps them to get established and to move forward. But when it comes to, at times, the things of God or churches, it's not just that we don't make it easy, but we actually, in some ways, make it harder. You know, why does it have to be the case? And how do we respond to that? Well, here's what Peter is saying. You submit. And you do it for my sake, because it's almost like God is saying, listen, I'm watching. I see what is happening. I see how you're being oppressed. I know how you're being treated as you are trying to live for me. And I'm paying attention to it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to submit. The implication or the idea there is, the opposite of that is to rebel. So God says, don't rebel against it. Now, if you're needing to make a choice between me and the government, then you choose me. But if that's not really what's happening and you're just feeling oppressed and you're feeling frustrated because things are harder or things seem unfair or things don't make sense to you, then here's what Peter is saying and what God is saying to us. Then you submit. You put yourself under that authority. And whatever it is that you're feeling that is difficult for you to deal with, you need to submit yourself to that. And that's what he's saying. Now let's go on. He says, whether to the king, verse 13, as supreme. And this would have been the emperor. And by the way, King Nero would have been the emperor during this time and was a mass murderer of believers, of Christians. And so, I mean, this is sort of a big thing for him to say, as the king or the emperor or the one who would have been, you know, the supreme authority of the land, then you put yourself in authority to him. this is sort of a big deal. You know, this, we're talking about somebody who is instituting laws and rules that would have brought strict and strong opposition to you, to your faith, to your beliefs, to your family, and it would have hurt a lot of people. And here's what God is saying: I want you to submit. Does this remind you of something Jesus said? Love your who?
Neighbor.
Your enemies. He said, love your neighbor. Yeah, good job, Mr. Positive, right? Yeah, love your neighbor, but who's your neighbor too? Your enemies. Love your enemies. Those that oppress you. Those that are, you know, come against you. God wants us to submit ourselves to those that are in authority. I mean, this is powerful. By the way, don't our kids need to learn how to do this? Don't our children need to learn how to submit themselves to their mom and their dad? They're like, well, I don't agree with you. So? Am I telling you to do something that God in the Bible is telling you not to do? Okay, I want you to go murder somebody. Okay, Dad. You know, we're not asking them to go break one of the commandments of God. You see, and for the most part, some parents maybe, but I mean, we're talking about a child that has his will, his way, the way he wants it to be. And so mom and dad are giving instruction and guiding because that's our job, that's our role. And there's a protection, there's an umbrella of protection there. Whether you're godly or not, there's an umbrella of protection established by God, by moms and dads who are there to guide their children and protect their children, and God uses that. By the way, that's why our society, in my opinion, and I don't think it's just an opinion, I believe that there's evidence in the scripture too to support this opinion of mine, but that's why our world is in such a mess right now with our young people, because they don't have moms and dads. And they're or they have a mom and a dad that's abdicated their authority. And they've sort of given it to the school or given it to some other authority or just let their kids do whatever they want to do. Hey, you're your own person. You figure it out. You do what you want to do. And see, this is a problem because what it does is it removes our children out from under the umbrella of that, not only the authority, but the protection that authority gives them. Okay? And so we're wanting our children to learn how to submit to the authority of God and their parents. Because we know it protects them. We know that it's best for them. And it doesn't really matter, and for the most part, how they feel about it. Well, God is saying this in the same manner to you and I. About the laws of the land. Even the laws we think are dumb. God is saying, I want you to submit yourself. By the way, how you behave when you're driving your car. You're like, oh man, here we go. I'm serious. How you behave when you're driving your car, your kids see that. Amen. They're watching you. Amen. How you behave whenever you're interacting with policemen or officers or any public official. Right. And it doesn't, if you're in the DMV, listen, go to the DMV and see if you find anybody who has a smile. Especially the people at the front of the line who've been there for like 3 days. Okay? So our attitude when we're in those contexts makes a difference. Yeah. Our attitude. It is an example to our children and the people around us. And by the way, to the government under which God has put us. And that's the point he's making. He says, do this for my sake. And in a sense, what I'm wanting you to see is that people are watching. People are watching. I got my driver's license when I waited a while, so I was 17 years old before I got my license, which is probably for the best for me, okay? But I got my license, and the day that I got my driver's license, I got a speeding ticket. How embarrassing is that? And I shouldn't even, I feel like, should I tell this story to everybody? But yeah, so I was on my way home from getting the, and listen, I'm gonna tell you, it was a speed trap, and it was an exit, 35 miles per hour. Oh, come on, this should not be. And then they were camped out just right there. I'm like, okay, this is a conspiracy. But I got a ticket on the day that I got my driver's license, right? So then I got another ticket, not the same day, but years later I got another ticket because he pulled me over because I didn't have my seatbelt on. But I did have it on. And because it's attached to the door. So whenever I got in my car, it was already on me. And so he comes to the car and he says, sir, did you have that seatbelt on? Like, meaning, did you put that on when I pulled you over? Because this is why I pulled you over. I'm like, no, sir, I had it on. And he didn't believe me. And I didn't want to argue with him, but I'm like, it's attached to the door. I didn't know what to say. I mean, it was on. I had it on. So then he gave me a ticket for something else. And I remember thinking, man, I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting frustrated about this. Let me give you one more. I got pulled over. You're like, good night. This guy should be in jail, right? This was years later, right? So I get pulled over in a school zone because I was speeding. And I was thinking about something else. In fact, I had sort of a bad attitude. And I remember when the policeman pulled me over, and as soon as the lights came on and I was pulled over, I knew why this was happening. And it wasn't because I was speeding. It was because my stinky attitude. I was really having a bad attitude in my heart. And he came to my door and he said the things that he says. And I gave him things. And whenever he came back and he had the ticket and everything, I looked at him and I said, listen, I know why you pulled me over. And he's like, what's this guy about to say? And I looked at the policeman and I said, I'm a pastor and my attitude was bad and God sent you. And he did not know how to respond to that. He was like, okay, yeah, well, good luck with that one, Gave me the ticket and I drove away. But here's what I'm saying is God, listen, God puts government in place for a reason. It protects society, amen. Right? Amen. But he also uses it in our life to protect us. And at times, he uses it to point us back to him. Amen. How amazing is that? Good. That God can use things like getting pulled over for speeding or, a traffic incident this way or something that's happening and it's related to officials in the government. And God uses that to work in us and to bring us to him. It might not be this morning that you are, It might not be that you are struggling so much with a government, thing in a specific way. You're like, I don't really struggle with this that much. But I want you to, it might not be that you're struggling with it, but I want you to see it for what it really is. It's an umbrella that's given to us by God as a protection for our society and for us personally. And for our families, God puts this in place. And so our attitude towards the government, it makes a difference. And God sees it. God sees our attitude. You say, well, Congress and the president, and then a lot of times we don't have good things to say. Especially before. So we have this opinion about politics. Here's what I want you to remember through this lesson is let's be careful about our opinion about politics. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be mindful of God and that we shouldn't be mindful of the principles of God and the direction of our country under the umbrella of God. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be mindful of that. But I think that it would be wise for us to remember who gave us the government. Amen. Where did it come from? And the authorities that are in place, who holds them in His hand? Amen. Like, well, really, did God do this? I think that we can see through this and another passage that I want to show you also here in a little while, that this came from God, and God gave us this for our protection. And so our attitude towards it matters. And by the way, can I say before we read our next verses, because we see it really unfold in the next verses, our attitude matters because people are watching. Our children are watching. The people around us are watching. You know, our church family pay attention to our attitude towards the government and our responses to the laws of the land, whether we obey them or not, whether we undercut them, you know. Like if there's tax laws and you're like, we don't have to do this. I need to be careful. Because your attitude about the laws of the land and how you behave when you are doing things related to the government or the government is doing things related to you, whether it's either way, that we understand that we need to be in submission and we need to do it for the Lord's sake. And He's paying attention. And by the way, can I say before we read our next verses, God knows how it all works together. God knows how to protect you. He knows how to take care of you. Like, well, we need to build a building, the church, and the government's making it hard on us. Well, God knows that. And He knows how to make things move forward. And by the way, can I say that sometimes God wants to use those things to hinder something He doesn't want it to happen. Amen. And if He wants it to happen, by the way, He knows how to make it happen. We need to have faith enough to believe that and to submit. Now, verse 15. We got to hurry. Y'all are taking too long. For so is the will of God. There He is. He's there. He's saying it. Now watch this. That with well-doing He may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And that's what he's saying there is, when you, in the will of God, obey and submit yourself to the authority of the government that is that's umbrella over you, it puts to silence the critics. Those who hate the gospel, who hate the message of the gospel, hate the Lord Jesus Christ, hate what we stand for, and they're oppressing or opposing it. When we are in submission and our spirit is right and our attitude is right, then what it does is it doesn't give us, or rather give the world, an argument against what we're standing for. It puts them to silence. In other words, it's a testimony. Can I say it that way? Our attitude is a testimony. Amen. To the people around us, the world around us, to our children, and everyone who sees how we respond and behave, by the way. Look at verse 16. And here, this is, by the way, key. As free. What's the opposite of being free? Shackled? Prison? Chained? God says, no, no, no. Don't do this because I'm forcing you to. Don't do this because you're shackled into it. No, no, do it as free. Now, how do you do that? How do you put yourself in this kind of submission and have a good attitude? Because you believe God. That's how you do it in freedom. Because you trust Him. You trust that God knows, and He's going to work it all out, and He knows how to work it all out. He says, not using the liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. That's sort of like, yeah, what's that scripture that talks about, do good to them that hate you, and and it's like coals of fire on them? I'm misquoting it. Do you know the verse I'm talking about? Like, I'm going to do good to them, and because I know God's going to dump fire on them, you know? Like, I don't know if that's really the right motive. It's true that God knows how to work things out that way, but I'm not sure that maliciousness should be a motive for doing right. You know, I'm going to do right, and I'm going to buy you a gift card to Texas Roadhouse because I want to see fire come down on you, you know? I mean, they might enjoy that Texas Roadhouse gift card, but I don't know that's a good motive to do it. God says do it as free. He says the last phrase there, as a servant of God. Servant of God. I like this, not in fear but in faith, right? Not in fear but in faith. I want to finish up here. KK asked me the other day how many tickets that I've had. You know, now before I give you the answer to this, what I said to KK, and y'all are laughing, like, what are you laughing about? So I grew up in the Midwest, and there are people in Phoenix who've never had a ticket, like never been pulled over. And I'm like, how is that even possible? I'm serious. Like, how is it even possible that you've never been pulled over? And I know people who've done that. And but I've lived here for 2 years, and I've never been pulled over. Is that because I haven't sped a few times? I mean, you know, a couple times maybe. You know what I mean? But I've not been pulled over since I've been here. I was in Missouri for a week and a half. Now, I didn't get pulled over, okay, but so I'm getting nervous. But I was on one road, and I saw three policemen waiting. Three. Like, we don't have anything else to do. We're just going to wait for people right here, you know? And I'm not, I don't want to be critical about it. I'm just telling you, it's different there than here. Okay, so I'm prefacing my answer to KK with that. Amen. So I'm thinking, okay, I've maybe been pulled over and received a ticket 8 or 10 times. And I feel like that's not very many times. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I feel pretty good about that. 8 or 10 times. I'm not exactly young. I'm not as old as some, but anyway, we won't go there. But I'm just saying, I've driven for a long time, and I feel like 8 or 10 is pretty good. And KK, she looked at me like, whoa. 10 times. Like, you're a criminal. That's what she was looking at me. She's like, Pastor, you should be in jail right now. And that's how she was looking at me, you know? Our children are watching how we respond to the laws of the land. They are watching. And now that my kids are 15, 16, 17 years old, they look at the speedometer. I'm like, why are you looking at that? I'm like, Dad, you're going too fast. I'm like, okay, all right, help her in the seat over there. You know, I'll just slow down a little bit. They're watching though, aren't they? They're paying attention. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. We were on our way back. Y'all are gonna think I'm the worst, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm just gonna be honest here. We're on our way back. I got Grandma's Jeep. The trailer's hooked to it. And Melissa's in her car. So Grant's in the passenger. And I'm driving. And I need to send a few messages out. You're like, okay, I know where he's going with this. I know he's going with this. So I got my phone. And I'm like, I'm driving. I'm on I-40. And my phone's right here. And I'm driving. And everything's good, right? So then I'm like, okay. And then I stopped. Okay, I didn't even send the whole message, okay? But I stopped. Grant never said anything. He was sitting right there. But I knew he was watching. So I stopped. I handed him the phone and I said, Grant, I need you to send some messages for me. Amen. And we did it. Amen. We did it. I'm like, amen. Yeah, we all need to do that, right? We all need to do that. I told you that because that's an example of what I think we all need to understand, how God works through the government to protect us and protect society. It's not just about us. It's about everybody else that is affected by our decisions and the people who are watching how we behave in this government. You might not like the law. You might think the rule is dumb. You might think it's unfair. You might not like how the government is run and the political offices. I mean, so we could talk about that for a long time, right? But that doesn't matter. Are they leading us to do things that God says no? Then we obey God. But if that's not the case, we submit and we trust Him and we do it for His sake and we do it as free, not shackled, but knowing God's in control and He knows how it all works together. Yes. He knows how it all works together. So it might be that we need to adjust some of our driving habits. We might need to adjust some of our tax editing habits. We might need to adjust our behavior and conversations about the politics. Aren't you glad I don't talk about politics all the time? Anyway, we might need to adjust how we discuss these things and our attitudes. And by the way, the list can go on and on, can't it? We need to submit and do it for His sake and watch how He uses that to silence those who oppress and oppose. And they might continue to oppress and oppose, but it's illegitimate, isn't it? Because we've put ourselves in submission. And I hope we're helped this morning. We just try to say what God wants us to say. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for this great lesson and the thought that is attached to it. And I know that there's something special here for all of us. And I know how you used it in my life, even with driving habits, an example and a testimony there to my kids. And I pray that you'd help us to establish this as a rule and a law, not just of the land, but of our own lives. And help us to trust you in the area of government, to know that you know what you're doing, and that we can trust you and obey you and submit, and that you know how things work together for good. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.